How did it all start? You hear about guitarists, you hear about bands, but you rarely hear about bagpipers in Arkansas.
That's true. It's very unusual in Arkansas. We're the only, well, until last year, we were the only other band besides Lyon College pipe band in Arkansas. It originated when Ramon Hendricks retired and moved to Arkansas. He was a drummer with the Naval Academy for his, like, 20 years, I think. Retired from there. He also played the bagpipes. His dad was from Scotland, a piper. And when Ramon moved here, the Dr. Steve Wilson, who was, I guess, the main force behind putting the band together, found out that Ramon could play the bagpipes. And Steve had always had a dream of learning to play the bagpipes, but Ramon didn't want to teach anyone. And so Steve kept wheedling away at him and asking over and over. And anybody who knew Steve, he's passed away now, unfortunately, in 2006. But he could usually charm just about anybody eventually. And finally Ramon gave in and gave him pipe lessons. So
now, there's more than one of you playing bagpipes, obviously, so is it difficult to arrange pieces for more than one person playing a bagpipe, or how does that work? Is that a process?
Well, the music that we play originated really in the British military. The Highland regiments that were famous for their pipes were integrated into the military, and originally all the pipe tunes were learned by rote. And one at a time, or however many, they listened by ear, and they repeated and listened and repeated until they got it. But then when as time went on, the military needed to be able to have the music arrangement standardized. And so they used traditional musical notation that we're used to seeing to put it on paper. However, it doesn't mean exactly the same thing as it would for a piano, for example. Even though the notes look the same on paper, it's translated differently into the bagpipe music.
Over what did you bond first, love of Scottish culture or love of the pipe? Did you guys?
That's a tough one.
I am like the sound of the bagpipes. This is Tom, and Dr. Wilson was my doctor. I live in West Fork, and he was a doctor in West Fork. And from watching films when I was little, you know, the old World War II movies with the bagpipers in them, and I thought, well, I'd like to learn how to play the bagpipes. And Dr. Wilson told me that if I joined the band, he would give me lessons and teach me how. So basically, that's how I learned to do it. And then I grew to love the Scottish culture. My culture is basically background is German and Welsh, so the rest of them here are a little bit more Scottish inclined than I am.
How long does it take to learn to pipe?
Well, it varies quite a bit. If you've had some musical experience, you generally can pick it up a little bit faster. It probably takes a year on average, sometimes as much as 2 years, sometimes just 7 months. It just depends on the person to get the skills down, the technique down on the practice chanter. And then once you get the tunes down and the technique down, the fingering, then you move over to the great pipes. We call them great pipes or war pipes is what we play, the Scottish bagpipes.
What's one of the more challenging aspects of learning to play the bagpipes? Because it seems like there's a lot of things going on with this particular instrument.
Well, there are a lot of things going on. I like to say that even though it's just an assortment of hollow wooden tubes and pipes, I guess, literally, the finesse in playing it actually has to all come from the musician, because the bagpipes...
Red's been in the band about 13 years, and he was given Dr. Wilson's pipes about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, so he's just learning, and he's been in the band a long time, and he is figuring out all the difficulties that all of us pipers have, and he could probably explain. It's like walking and chewing bubble gum, except you are blowing, squeezing, fingering, and taking breaths, and sometimes people that are learning how, one of our other guys, David, he forgets to breathe every once in a while. So there's a lot to it, and Red could probably explain that a little bit for on the newer pipers.
Well, the biggest issue with it is it's far more physically demanding than any other musical instrument. It's amazing how just playing them a few minutes can leave you exhausted. And, you know, people say, ooh, I played a tuba in college, and say, yeah, well, that's about a tenth as hard as you have to blow to make the bagpipes work. And you do, when you watch the pipers play, you'll see that they're doing all kinds of things at once. And a lot of times we march while we're doing this, and they tend to, unlike a guitar or a piano that you can just let sit there for months and then just pick it up, give it a quick tune and play it. If you leave them lying around for 2 weeks, you pick them up, there's a good chance they won't play.
Oh.
And so you have to go through and redo all the joints on them and everything and figure out what all's wrong with them.
We just had a sound check and it was loud. Do you guys have any complaining neighbors? Where do you guys practice?
Well, the band as a group practices at St. Paul's Episcopal Church Parish Hall. They're mm-hmm. very kind, and they put up with our loud noises. And we do practice twice a week, year-round, pretty much. So in order to keep everybody's pipes playing well and mm-hmm. keep learning new tunes, and all our tunes have to be memorized as well.
Your neighbors, though, come out and applaud
yeah,
you.
Yeah, some. When I, well, so they didn't always.
Or maybe
do.
They're booing. I'm not sure.
I'm lucky, actually. We have some retired neighbors around our house, and they say they like them, and they haven't, you know, called the police on us or anything. I guess we were okay sometimes.
So, how often do you guys actually get to perform, you know, to people that want to hear you and are not going to boo you?
Well, that actually varies widely from year to year. Generally, we have our Burns Night, which is coming up here, as our big fundraiser for the year. We perform probably about a 30-minute program for that. Then
School of the Ozarks.
School of the Ozarks. We play for their graduation in May. And we usually go to Batesville to Lyon College. They have a Scottish festival in April. And the last couple of years, they haven't had competitions, band competitions. But the years that they've had band competitions, our band has actually gone and competed against other bands in our own grade. And there's usually a Scottish festival in Tulsa in the fall. And we'll play performances. We're for hire, you know, when people tell us they have something coming up, a wedding or a family reunion or something, they want to hire a piper.
Funerals.
Or the band. Yeah, we pretty much can supply people for that generally.
I read up on the website about performing in the world's largest mining shovel, performing in front of Lady Margaret Thatcher, performing in front of Colin Powell.
How did you guys get to do these things with the chieftains? Mm-hmm. How did you guys get these gigs, and what was that like for you?
Well, I think the original members of the band, Steve and Mac and Dave Wilson, I don't know who else, they were traveling somewhere, and they saw this mine shovel up in Ohio or somewhere, and they just decided they'd get out and play in it, and Steve probably wrote the Guinness people to see if it was a world record or not, and that's how they played there. Margaret Thatcher came and spoke at the College of the Ozarks, School of the Ozarks, and so the school wanted someone to come and, you know, play when she was introduced, and so we were the closest thing with that sort of heritage, and so from then it evolved into us going and playing for their graduation. So every Mother's Day we go and play at their graduation, and Colin Powell was one of the speakers up there at their he just came and spoke, and so every once in a while they just call us to come and march in whoever's going to come up there.
So we touched a little bit upon the upcoming performance here for the Robert Burns Night. Could you guys explain a little bit more about that?
About the Robert Burns?
Yes.
Well, Robert Burns was a Scottish poet, excuse me. Actually, the poet of the common people is the way it's usually put. And he wrote about all aspects of life on the farm and rabble-rousing. And he wrote Address to the Haggis, which is one of the poems that we read as part of the ceremony at the Robert Burns Night. When we have the We actually have haggis that one of our band members uses, a recipe that's been passed down through the band for several years. And Charles Kester makes the haggis, and then we have the ceremony part of it where the piper pipes in the haggis and the chef is behind and there's a defender of the haggis and everything. And then the address to haggis is read with a lot of giggling. And we don't do it too seriously. We actually have a great time. Most people enjoy it quite a lot.
That's great.
After the dinner, we just have pipes. Sometimes we have singing groups, different things each year. It's our only fundraiser for the year, and it's $28 per ticket. And they're sold in advance, and we can accommodate 200 guests. So,
and if they want to get tickets, what number can they call?
They can call my number. It's at home. It's 479-444-0746.
Okay.
We use this when we say it's our fundraiser. The kilts cost about $350 to $400 a piece. And then we send pipers and drummers to different, like 3 and 4 day clinics. Like they had one in Lyons College last year. And so we help pay for the pipers to go over there and stay for a week. Or like we have the following weekend is a winter storm up in Kansas City, which the Simon Fraser Band will be there performing, plus all the world's best pipers will be there instructing. So we help pay for the band members to go to that. So it just helps us raise money to pay for the stuff that the band needs.
But if you guys don't mind, we'd love to have you play some stuff.
Well, one of the issues I don't guess anybody mentioned before is these things are only capable of playing 9 notes. And so there's an awful lot of stuff out there you just simply can't play on them because they can't play enough notes to do it.
And the tones are different.
And we don't have any music holders or lyres or anything to have under our arms, so everything we play has to be memorized.
It takes when we're preparing for a competition and the pipe major selects a new medley of tunes that we're going to play, it takes about sometimes about 4 or 5 months to polish that to where we can play it all together, because not only are we tuning our chanters, we're tuning our drones. So we have to constantly play the same tunes over and over and over again so everybody's hitting. There's 9 notes, as Red said, but we also play grace notes, which are the different things that make the different noises, sounds on the bagpipes. So there's 9 notes, but then there's, I don't know how many different kinds of grace notes, Harriet, you know? If you counted them.
That's the funny thing.
I don't know, but some of the gracings themselves have 6 or 7 notes just in the gracing. That's before you hit the real note in the melody. So,
do you have a signature tune of the band?
Oh, of course, probably Scotland the Brave and Rowan Tree. Would you like to hear that?
Yes. Yes.
Be happy to play it.
We warmed up in the church where we practiced before we came over here, and like it's very warm in here, and like it's getting cold outside, and so the different temperatures, like humidity and everything like that, and if you hear us making different noises, it's not because we're messing up, it's the weather's fault.
And we stand by that. By the roll. Quick march.